church that was started by disciples. It was not started by the apostles. All right. It was not started by Apostle Paul, or Peter, or James, or John. It was started by disciples, believers like you and I, that went and learned from the apostles and then went out spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how the church got started. And that is how we should be today, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as I pointed out last week, I believe Aquila and Priscilla, right, were involved in the starting of this church according to Romans chapter number 16. According to Romans chapter number 16 and also Acts chapter number 18. I believe they were heavily involved in the starting of the church here in Rome. And matter of fact, Paul acknowledges them in Romans chapter number 16 and says, "Greet Aquila and Priscilla, who have a church in their home." They have a church in their home. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for all of the churches that have started out in homes. So in garages and wherever they could start them. And God added to that and blessed that. And God is doing the same thing today. And so Romans chapter number 2 deals with the judgment of sin and God's judgment of sin. And the first part deals with that. Then it kind of goes into God's law that is broken until we go into chapter number 3 and we see how God is faithful to us. And I want to start at verse number 1 here. And the Bible says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." Now I'm going to drop down to verse number 4, if you would, please. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance." I'm thankful for the goodness of God that gives us an opportunity to change. "But after thy hardness and impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Every one of us will be held accountable for our deeds. Okay? It is our actions, the things that we do, the things that we say, that is what we are held accountable for. So this is what Paul is letting the church know, letting the people know, that you will be held accountable, because Paul is dealing with people that are holding other people accountable, but not themselves accountable. So that is what Paul's dealing with here. And people love pointing blame. It's always easier to point the finger, right? It's always easier to give blame to someone else. And we have to be very careful with that as children of God, that we continue to look at ourselves and say, "Lord, no, fix me, change me." I always try to instruct people, whether I'm counseling, whether I'm preaching, teaching, or just giving advice, when they come with a situation or a problem that's dealing with someone else, I'm always encouraging them, "Well, what could you have done? What was your role in the situation?" Because it's so much easier to say, "No, they did this. They did this to me. This is what," and that very well can be true, right? And they very well could be 100% wrong about what they did. However, what was your role? What was your part? Or what are you going to do now? How to go about the situation? Because you can't harbor it forever. You can't live in this guilt, this shame, this disgust, this hatred forever. You can't do that forever, right? Because if we want to be forgiven, what do we have to do? We have to forgive, right? And so we can't hold on to these things. And there's too many children of God that are holding on to things. I mean, not just days and weeks. I'm talking years, decades. They're just harboring these things, holding on to these things. There's people that have passed on. And they're still upset with people, and they're dead and gone, right? And so we have to release. We have to be released of these things. And what a blessing it is. I don't know how many of you here have ever released something that you've been holding on to and realized what a blessing it was for you just to release it off of you. And so this is what Paul is dealing with here. And drop down all the way, verse number 11. It says here, "For there is no respect of persons," who? With God. He has no respect to person. Okay, he has no respect to person. And this is what he's dealing with. Verse number 12, for as many as have sinned without law, this is powerful here. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Okay? For not the hearers of the law are just because before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now look at verse number 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Has anyone ever been in a situation or in a place where you didn't really know the rules of the place? There was nothing posted somewhere saying this is what you should do or what you shouldn't do, but something in you was saying, I don't think I should do that. Right. I don't think we should go over there, or I don't think I should touch that, even though there wasn't a rule or a sign around saying don't touch it. But your conscience, a law written within you, was saying, I probably shouldn't touch that. That is what Paul's dealing with. Paul is now specifically talking to the Jewish culture saying, now, wait a minute now, you have the law. You understand the law. You know the law. It was given. It was passed down from generation to generation. And you're going to be judged according to what you know. However, the Gentiles who didn't have the law, that means they didn't have access or the teaching and the training that the Jews had. Okay. He's saying they can't be judged by the things that were not given unto them, but they are still held accountable for what was written in their heart. Meaning God has given us some intuition, if you will, things that we just naturally know, I probably shouldn't do that. All right, let me explain this even further from a biblical standpoint. All right, let's go a little deeper here. There was no thou shall not kill in Genesis. I should stop teaching right there because y'all should already know where I'm going. However, Cain knew he should not have done what he did to his brother. There was no thou shall not kill. But it was in what you call it innate nature. It was within him to know I shouldn't do what I'm doing. My anger is getting the best of me. And that's why the Lord gave him an opportunity saying, Cain, if you do right, I will accept you. But if you don't do right, he says, sin lies at your door. Right? So he was giving him even an opportunity then to make things right. But Cain allowed his anger to get the best of him, his jealousy to get the best of him, his flesh to get the best of him. That's all it was. Right? He allowed his flesh to get the best of him. And so he slew his brother Abel. But there was no law at that particular time. So now God is, Paul is speaking here to the church. Listen, let's go back to verse number 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. There was no thou shall not kill, but you know you shouldn't be killing. There was no thou shall not steal, but you know you shouldn't have took that that didn't belong to you. This is powerful because we are people that like to justify ourselves and try to kind of talk our way out of, well, I didn't know not to do that. No, you knew not to do that. Come on now. We, most of us have had children and grandchildren in here, and we know, now you know you shouldn't have touched that. You know you shouldn't have. And they're 3, 4, 5 years old. They know what they should and should not be doing. You come around, all of a sudden they stop doing it, right? They perk up. They drop everything, okay? I walk in the kitchen, they shut the refrigerator like they weren't in the kitchen. But I don't have rules up that say you should not be in the refrigerator or you should not be touching that. But they just know they shouldn't be doing it. And we are the same way as well. So he says they shall perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, he says in verse number 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their what? Thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day, excuse me, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Verse number 17 says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the thing that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Let me continue to read here before we expound a little bit. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, are you stealing? You telling a man they shouldn't commit adultery, or are you committing adultery? You telling everybody thou shouldn't hoard his idols, but dost thou commit scartlage? Robbing from temples, okay, being sacrilegious. Verse number 23, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through who? Through you. You're the reason why people don't want to live for the Lord. You're the reason why people don't want to serve him. It's because of you. You say one thing, but do another. Wow. I read a statistic one time, this was many years ago, but they said that many atheists are atheists because of the life of Christianity. They said, well, when I look at who calls themselves Christian and I look at the life that they live, they can't believe in God. There cannot be a God based on how they live. So then therefore, I live the way I live. And then I read I was listening to another YouTube video, and this atheist was saying, the question was asked, why are you atheist? Why are you not a believer? They said, well, most Christians who I talk to them about the Bible, but they can't explain it, or they don't know where to go to find it. They can't give me answers from the Bible. So how can you be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ and you don't even know his own word, instructions? Because if he was to ask me a question about what I believe or what I teach, I'm able to take you and show you exactly what I believe. It's pretty powerful. And so it's one of those things to where that's why I consider teaching so valuable and so important. Why we must have teaching and why we must be people that take the time to learn as much as we can. Not so that I can tell somebody what to do, how to do it, but it's for my own sake, because it's important to understand the why. Why do I live the way I live? Why do I do the things that I do? Why do I come to the house of God? Why is it important for me to come to church? Why is it important for me? You fill in the blank there, right? And when you can answer your why, what does that give you? It gives you clarity, gives you confidence, a surety, right? And it gives you a sure foundation, okay? It gives you a sure foundation that no one can just move you off of what you believe, because you understand your why. And Paul is saying, you are the reason. You're telling everybody what to do, but you're not even doing it yourself. What is going on here, right? What is happening here? Now, this is strong words, because Paul hasn't even been to Rome. Right? These are strong words, because Paul hasn't even been to Rome. Now, let's go back to chapter number one. Go back to chapter number one. Look what Paul says here. This is the same writer, same one that speaks here. In verse number 8, look what it says. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. But y'all the reason why people ain't coming to church. What? Huh? Wait a minute now, Paul. Wait, right? Well, I'm so thankful. Y'all faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, won't y'all act right and live right and do right? Because y'all causing people not to come to church. It's almost like, wait a minute. Are we doing good or are we not doing good? Huh? Now, let's think about this here now, because we are people of faith. We are people that believe. We are people that it doesn't matter what the situation may look like. We trust in God. Right? I believe in him. I trust in him. And we are people that speak strongly about our faith. But boy, our actions must line up with our faith. Oh, and that's what Paul's dealing with. I'm thankful your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You have great faith. Now let's talk about your actions. Let's deal with your Monday, your Tuesday, your Thursday, your Friday. You do good on in the Sabbath. You do good when you're in the synagogue. You do good when you're around other believers. But let's talk about when you're in your neighborhood. Let's talk about while you're on your job. Let's talk about while everybody else is going out having the drinks. What are you doing? Let's talk about where everybody's cussing. Are you saying those same words? Woo! You see how Paul, he's hitting them, isn't he? Right? I like how he builds them up. And then he's like, okay, let me talk to you now. Yeah, that sandwich, that's right. Now he's Paul's like, okay, everybody be seated. Everybody be seated. Y'all clapped and sang the songs and did all that. Right? He's that type of preacher. Everybody's all hype and excited and, oh, I got a reason to praise the Lord. He's like, okay, y'all done singing? Okay, sit down. Now let me talk to y'all about how y'all living. Ooh, it's so good, because that is where sincerity comes into play, not just emotion.
Right.
I love to jump and shout and clap my hands, but we have to be sincere. We have to be sincere in our walk. We have to be sincere in our talk. That doesn't just happen out here in this sanctuary. It's easy in there. It's harder out there.
Amen.
Right? And that's why we have to be sincere. Who am I? Well, let me keep going. Man. It's so powerful. Okay, let's go to verse number 25. For circumcision, verily, let's look at this. For circumcision, verily profiteth if you keep the law. Okay, what is circumcision? I know y'all know this. Just talk to me. What is circumcision? Circumcision was a covenant, not exactly what it is exactly. There you go. Yeah. Let me clarify that. Let me clarify that. Sister Gibbs is like, it's where they, you know, that what happens. Oh boy, let me clarify. She's turning red over here. It's like, I don't know what else to say. Okay, circumcision is a covenant. It's a covenant. It represented a covenant. All right, it represented a covenant.
Which is
Which is a contract, yes.
Between
God and us. Now, where did that contract or that covenant begin? Who did it start with? It started with Abraham. That's exactly right. It started with Abraham, and he got circumcised in his old age. All right. And his entire household and every servant, everybody that belonged to Abraham. So they was all lining up. Oh, they wanted to quit their job that day, boy, I tell you. Hey, boss, I love you, man, but can I just fire me right now? Just fire me. And his entire household, right, was circumcised. And, of course, his children and those after that. And so it was a covenant. It was a contract between God and man. And so look what he's saying here now. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Paul's saying, just because you've gotten circumcised, meaning of the flesh, don't just think you can live how you want to live. Don't think you can just do what you want to do because you've been circumcised and because their circumcision was connected to Abraham, not to God. Did y'all follow what I just said there? Right? Because the Jew was hung up on, we are Abraham's. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they will repeatedly say that, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we're not servants. We're children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We belong to his lineage. It was too connected to man and not God. And when you become too connected to man and not God, you see, your circumcision is of your flesh. Instead of the New Testament, our circumcision is where? Of the heart, right? And if you're connected to a man or an individual, you're no different than what Paul is dealing with here. Okay, so he says, For your circumcision don't mean nothing if you're not keeping the law. If you're a breaker of it, then it's not meant for anything. Verse number 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision, look, for the uncircumcision, who's that? Gentiles, keep the righteousness of the law, should not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? Woo! You have people that don't even have the covenant of Abraham doing right and better than you all that have the covenant. My people today, listen, children of God, don't take your walk with the Lord for granted to the point to where the unbeliever comes in and has a moment of faith and belief and receives what you've been waiting on for 10, 20 years, but because you've been more connected to man than to him, other people are receiving what belongs to the children. Okay? Remember, when you all were born again of water and of spirit, when you are born into the kingdom of God, you receive the blessings that were connected and promised to Abraham. Did you know that? Let's go to Galatians, because I want to prove it to you. I don't want you just to take my word. Let's go to Galatians. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. Yeah. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, actually. Let's see here. There's a couple places I want to go, but let's go to Galatians 3. It explains it so well. All right, everyone there? Okay, verse number 26. Galatians 3, starting at verse number 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Everyone's heard my example of that, correct? I've given that example many times where you put on that suit jacket. Yes. Amen. And so have put on Christ. Your husband was baptized when he heard that message, Sister Carol. All right. Many people have chosen to be baptized when they hear me teach on that, have put on Christ. What does he continue to say? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's powerful. Yes. That's powerful. Every promise that God gave Abraham, he said, it belongs to you too. It belongs to you too. If you are in Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus is on you. Every promise that he gave Abraham is given unto us. Now that's something amazing and special that we can really hang on to and rejoice in as well. And so this is what we're dealing with here back in where are we at? Romans. I knew I should have put my bookmarker. This is what we're dealing with back here in Romans chapter number 2, where Paul is dealing with these people according to the circumcision and the uncircumcision. Now, let's look at this here now. Because the Bible says in verse number 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. There's the word right there. There's what validates your circumcision cannot be unto men. Your circumcision must be unto God. Now, this is a great opportunity to just double down on why I believe and teach what I teach. Because this proves to you that generation after generation after generation, somewhere it was lost, the purpose of the circumcision. Somewhere it was lost. At some point in some generation, they were just doing it just to doing it, just to be doing it, and not doing it with the understanding that this is a covenant with God. It started with our father Abraham, but it's a covenant with God, an oath that we have with God. It has nothing to do with your father or your father's father, your father's father, father. No, this is unto the Lord. And we cannot lose the explanation and understanding from generation to generation of why we believe what we believe. You can't just say, do this, go here, go there. Help people to understand this is why we do this. Even as simple as lifting our hands, as simple as clapping our hands, because you know that can be very rudimentary. It can just be, pastor said lift our hands, I'm lifting. Oh, pastor said clap, I'm clapping. Pastor said get up, okay, I'll get up. Pastor said be seated, oh, thank you. Hey, I was waiting on that one. Okay, we can go through the rituals, the ups and downs and of church, right? I might as well just wear a t-shirt this Sunday that says Simon Says. Okay. 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 Simon said. Simon said. Because that's what it can become if we lose the why. Why am I encouraging you to clap? Why do I encourage you to lift your hand? There's got to be a why behind it and not just me just or anyone trying to get you to do some calisthenics. Right? We didn't come to yoga class. Okay? But there's got to be a purpose behind our shout. It's got to be a purpose behind our dance. There's got to be a purpose behind our lifting of hands. Why do we do these things? Because we understand there's victory in it. There's peace in it. There's comfort in it. There's joy in it. There's breakthrough in it. Right? There's surrender in it. All these reasons, all these things that we do have a purpose behind it because we see it in Scripture. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says, clap your hands, O ye people. The Bible says, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. The Bible says for us to dance before the Lord. The Scripture gives us these things, right? But if you lose the why, oh, my Lord, no wonder the Bible says, let's go to John chapter 4, verse number 24. Let's go there. John 4, 24. We're going to finish Romans at some point this year. Okay. John chapter 4, verse number 24. Look what it says. Everyone got it? Well, let's start at verse number 21. Let's get the whole context here. All right. Jesus said unto her, dealing with the woman who? What woman is he dealing with? The woman at the well, right? Where's the woman from? Samaria, right? Samaria. So the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, how? In spirit and in truth. Whew. in spirit and in truth. And that is how we must continue to teach ourselves and the next generation how to worship. We worship in spirit. When we feel the presence of the Lord, it prompts us to worship. When we know His glory is among us, through us, in us, it prompts us to worship. Amen. Right? You can be driving down the road, you listening to a song, tears coming Amen. Down your eyes. Right? You listening to something, or all of a sudden you lift your hands. You're like, wait a minute, let me get my hands back on the steering wheel. You know, come on. Some of us may have been so caught up in worship, you had to pull off the side of the road. Yeah, just give yourself a little praise break a little bit, because God is just moving upon you in such a way. That's the spirit, worship in spirit. But then the Bible says, and truth. What's truth? Truth is His word, right? The Bible says, my word is true. So that means because His word instructs us to do it, we do it, right? Because it instructs us to clap, we clap. Because it instructs us to lift our hands, our voice, we do those things because His word says it. So now I don't have to worry about how I feel about it. It's just because His word tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. Oftentimes, too often, many of us make the mistake of doing something waiting on a feeling to move us. We can't wait on a feeling to move us to do something, right? We just have to do it because it's the right thing to do. It's no difference when it comes to the mechanics of an athlete. The mechanics of an athlete are built up and trained over time. Okay? As an athlete, as a baseball player, I'm not saying I was a baseball player. I did play baseball, but I was, you know. So, but the mechanics was that when I held that bat, I had to hold it a certain way. The grip was a certain way. I had to have my elbow up a certain height. And so the mechanics was that regardless of, it didn't matter how I felt. I had to practice my mechanics, and my swing had to be right. The rotation of my hips had to be right. My eye had to be, make sure the eye contact of the ball had to be right. So I had to watch that ball hit that bat and follow through all the way and swing all the way through. And I had to continue to do that so that my mechanics would be right. So then when I got into a game, it just became natural because I've been practicing the whole time on certain mechanics. It's just natural. It's natural. It's just second nature. So even if I'm not feeling well, or if my body is not up to what it should be because I'm having physical limitations due to a sore ankle or a sore back or whatever the case may be, but my mechanics are still strong and intact. So even when I get up to bat, I still have the right rotation. Does that make sense? But it's the time that I put in, right? It's the time. It's no different when it comes to the things of God. If my mechanics are consistent, that means when I wake up, the first thing I do is say, thank you, Lord. That's part of your mechanics. Thank you, Lord, for just giving me one more day. Thank you, Lord. When you know, and I'm always blessing other people. Bless you, sister. Bless you, brother. I bless you. I bless you. Hey, may God bless you. I thank the Lord for it. It just becomes a part of what you do and who you are. I'm helping people. I'm willing to serve people. When I come to the house of God, I just lift my hands. I don't care if I don't feel like it. Right? Mm-hmm. Song go, I just start clapping my hands. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling. But has anybody ever came to the house of the Lord and you just weren't doing that well, feeling that well, a little down, a little out of it, but then all of a sudden you started worshiping?
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Come on, do I have a witness in here?
Jesus.
Right? It just wasn't that day. Yeah. Okay? Now, I had those days on Saturdays. Praise God, okay? Help your pastor out. Stop having those days on Sunday. Okay, right. It just wasn't that day. And, but you come, and you lift your hands. All of a sudden, you start saying words to a song. All of a sudden, God just begin to minister to you. And you, it's like you're in a zone. It's like you're in a church of 300 people, but you all by yourself.
Amen.
You know, and God began to move on you. You begin to worship in spirit, but it started out in truth. Amen. Now, look, now we're going to stay in John 4 just because this is interesting to me and I want to teach a little principle here. Look what it says. Verse number 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. You see that? I know that the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He just revealed himself.
Right.
Now, go back and study it. If you don't believe me, this is the first time Jesus ever revealed himself to anyone. Okay? It's the first time in Scripture where Jesus actually revealed himself to someone, and it was to a woman who had many different husbands, and the one that she was living with was not her husband.
She was half Jew.
She was half Jew. Yep, half Gentile. And this woman's all alone at a well, middle of the day, because she doesn't want to be around anybody. Right? There's so much in this, I mean, that you can just pull out of this story. It's an incredible opportunity, and Jesus says, I'm him. My Lord, that's the love of the Lord.
Amen.
One that you would never think he would even reveal himself to, he reveals himself to this lady. Right? I'm the one. I'm him. And so that is why now you can better understand the story, that the Bible says the woman left her water pot, ran back into the city, said, hey, come see this man. Hey, come see a man. The Bible says she brought the whole city. Ooh, no wonder the Lord revealed himself to her. He knew that she would be a great witness for him and brought everyone there. It's so powerful how the Lord shows grace and mercy to those. Let's make it personal to us. How he shows grace and mercy to us even when we don't feel like we deserve the grace and mercy. And honestly, we don't.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
But I'm thankful. I don't know about you, but even in my lowest place, God still met me and said, don't give up. Don't give up. Has anybody ever received a word like that? Don't give up. Don't give up. God hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on him. Don't give up. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. And this woman at the well here didn't think that this moment would change her day. But I'm thankful for those moments in my life where the Lord has met me and it absolutely changed my life around.
Amen.
We've all had those moments. There's a friend of mine who wrote a book called The Hinge Moments. The Hinge Moments. And it's a book just talking about those moments, those encounters that you have that totally just alter your path. The Hinge Moments, dealing with the door, the hinge on the door. Hinge moments where you can be going in one direction, all of a sudden God will put a hinge right in your track and he'll course correct you going the other way. Aren't we thankful for those moments?
Amen.
Amen. Back to Romans now. Chapter number 3, the Bible says, what advantage then have the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Now, watch this now. What advantage then have the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Well, actually, there's a couple things. He says chiefly means first of all. He says, because that unto them which were committed the oracles of God. There's actually is an advantage of you being a Jew because you actually were given the word of God. The Gentiles weren't given the word of God. You were given the word of God. He says here, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commended the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God have more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come. Whose damnation is just? What then, verse number 9, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under what?
Sin.
All under sin. The Bible, Jesus, the Lord God in his scripture says that he wished that no man perish, but that all come to what? Repentance. I wish that no man perish, but all come to repentance. That is so important to understand. Now, as we dive into chapter number 3, what you're going to find is that Paul is emphasizing the fact that, look, Jews, you have been given the word. Now that you've been given the word, you need to stand by the word. It doesn't matter if people don't believe the word or not. Let's bring that home. You all here today have been given greater revelation. You're walking into greater light. What does that mean? You have more understanding today than you did probably 1 year ago. You have more understanding today than you have 3 years ago, 5 years ago. I mean, you work that out within your own self, and you know where you are in your walk with Christ. But you're better off today than you were. Now, don't allow anyone to come behind you and say, it doesn't take all that. Are you hearing me? Because as God advances you, there's always going to be people back here that's saying, oh, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. You righteous now? You holy now? You this? They'll name you and call you whatever they want to. Doesn't matter. Because I'm continuing to advance in God. Remember, my circumcision is not unto man. It's unto God.
Amen.
Everyone follow where we're going here. This is what Paul's dealing with. Who cares if they're saying he said, let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
And if God is elevating you and pulling you to a higher level, to a new plane, you can't worry about the voices of people that are trying to bring you back. Because there will always be people that try to pull. Let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
That's why I thank God for this class.
Let me just
plug y'all in here real quick.
Yes.
I thank God for y'all.
Yes.
This is I love this class. I love it how we can dive into the word and just, you know, sink our teeth,
yes,
right, into the word of God and draw out what we need to draw out and understand it. Because the more knowledge you have and understanding that you have, the more that you can apply in your life. And the more you apply, the more you will grow. The more you will grow, the more hate that will come.
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay. All right. It's okay. Let God be true.
All right.
Every man a lie.
Amen.
Because if I see it now with my own eyes and I understand it, then it's on them to stay in darkness. Okay. Let me give this example. Never resist revelation. Never resist greater light.
Amen.
Don't resist it. Okay. Because when you step into greater revelation or greater light, the first thing you want to do, let's give a natural example. If you were sleeping good, lights out, blinds closed, and then here comes somebody in your room turning on the lights. Oh, you ready to fight? Right? Turn off that light. What you doing? Right? That light come on. Oh, man. You throw the covers over your head, right? Okay. Right? You throw them covers over your head. You know, yeah, you close your eyes, you turn off that light. It's the same way when it comes to greater light, greater understanding, greater knowledge in Him. When people step into greater light, when people step into greater revelations, you got one choice: let your eyes adjust or go back into the dark.
That's good. That's so good, sir. Amen.
Got it? Okay. So this is important. So as you walk and as God is drawing you, remember, no man can come to the Lord unless God draws him.
Amen.
The Spirit has to draw us. So as God is drawing you, don't resist that drawing. That's the Lord saying, I'm trying to pull you into greater. Come on, I'm trying to pull you into greater. I'm trying to pull you into greater. You can't worry about that. Can't worry about your family, your friend, whoever that person is, whoever those people are. Come on, I'm trying to draw you into greater. Okay? And you can't resist that. Just let your eyes adjust to it. Because once your eyes adjust to greater light, when you walk into something that's not as bright, come on, it's like LED compared to, what's the other lights?
Fluorescent.
Huh? Fluorescent. Yeah, it's like going from fluorescent light to LED light, and then you go back to fluorescent. Right? You're like, man, get some light on in here. It's dark in here. Right? It's dark in here. No. You just have greater light. You have greater light. And so here we have this understanding that Paul is saying here. Now, watch what he says here. Um, What then, verse number 9, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For if we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Bible says their throat is an open sepulcher. Mm-hmm. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Why is this? Because there is no fear of God before their eyes. I want to end today by elaborating on this. Okay. I am one, when I read scripture like this, I am very careful not to say, that's not me. I've never done that, and I'll never do that. When you read scripture like this, listen very closely, children of God. Two things you have to do. One, thank the Lord first. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought me out of this. Or thank you, Lord, that you've kept me from this. Because it's one or the other, right? Either he's brought you out of it or he's kept you from it. Okay? Thank you, Lord, for keeping me from this. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out of this. Here's the second thing you have to do. Now, Lord, help me that I never fall into this.
Yes.
You hear me? It's so important to do that. And many people make the mistake of not doing that when they read scripture. And what happens is that we become high-minded, haughty-spirited, prideful, thinking that I'm here because I've never fallen into these things. And people that do those things, y'all get where I'm going with that. Okay. Say that again.
Pull out my own beam.
That's right.
Can you repeat your second reason why?
You know, you can go to the website, and this is recorded. No, that was a little plug there for this is recorded. But it is, though. On a serious note, this is everything I'm saying is recorded, and I'm going to show you how to access that, okay? And so we have to be very careful that we don't just bypass these scriptures where it's listing, these types of sins because maybe we haven't done those things before, right? Or we haven't been down those roads before. No. We have to say, Lord, help me that I will never fall into those things. That was my second thing. Help me that I never fall into those things. Listen here now. Verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 1. We're going to end in Proverbs chapter number 1. I'm going to tie this in. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Everyone got it? Proverbs 1, starting at verse number 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what?
Knowledge.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and what? The fear of the Lord is your starting point. What happened back here in Romans chapter number 3, verse number 18? There is no fear of God before their eyes. So it lists all these things that they're caught up in because they have no fear. Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man, says, if you want to have a good foundation, you better fear God. He says, that's the first thing you ought to do, is fear God. And if you fear him, that means you put him first. That means you reverence him, right? And if you reverence him, then we probably won't do some of the things that we've done. Oh, come on now. How many was raised in a home like me where there's some things you just didn't do because you was like, oh, mom and dad go kill me if they find out about this. Right? There's certain things that I just did not do because I was more afraid of going home. Right? I remember I got pulled over one time. Just once. It was once. Yeah, I was a teenager, you know. Cut me some slack. Okay? Got pulled over by the cops. All right, whatever I was doing. I don't know. Cop walks up to the window. I roll it down. I look at him. I didn't recognize him, but he recognized me. He said, Eddie Robinson?
Oh, gosh.
I'm nervous now. I'm like, how does he know my name? You know, yes, sir. He just laid into me. Laid like a father. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? You need to do this. And why, you know, da, 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 da. I still don't know. He knows my parents. I don't know that. And I'm just thinking he's just laying into me. He says, I'm not going to give you a ticket because I know your mom and dad. And you would be in more trouble at home than you are with me right now. He says, but I better not catch you again doing none of this stuff. You know, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I won't do it again. I won't do it again. That's right. That's right. Driving home, talking about in fear. That's right. And it was, I have more stories like that, but I want y'all to think of me so highly. And I said like that. Yeah. I got other stories like that one where I've been places I should not have been. And I remember walking up to a door and not going to tell you where I was. And so I walked up to this door and I should not have been there. There had no reason of being there. And I knew I shouldn't have been there. And I go in and I couldn't even go in. I go to the door and the person at the door worked with my dad. He says, I ain't letting you in here. I said, what do you mean? No, I work with your father. I know your daddy. I know how you were raised. You're not supposed to be here. You need to go home. See, when you take a church kid and they try to be in the world, you just don't fit. You just don't fit, right? You just don't fit. He said, I know your dad. I said, man, my dad is, he's everywhere, man. He's everywhere. But there's some things you just don't do based on a fear or a reverence that you have of certain individuals in your life. Let me tell you something. Everybody, especially kids growing up, should have a healthy fear. That means a healthy reverence of somebody in their life, whether it's a mom or dad, whether it's grandma or grandpa, whether it's an uncle, someone. There should be someone that's like, man, I don't want grandma to find out about this. There it is. Everyone should have a healthy fear of someone in their life just for accountability. Because if you have no fear, you'll do anything. And that is what Paul's dealing with here in the Roman church. And this is what Solomon's saying to Proverbs, saying, if you don't fear God, you have no wisdom. Amen. You have no wisdom. I don't care how much education. I don't care how many letters you got behind your name. If you don't put God first, then you're willing to do anything. That's when every man is right in his own eyes. You don't fear God. That's when every imagination is evil, right? Because you don't fear God. When you start doing things on your own intuition, on your own self-will, it's because you don't fear God. You have no reverence of him in your life. But when you have reverence of him, it will help you in your balance of life. Oh, thank you, Lord. It will help you in your balance of life when you have a healthy fear of him. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for your sweet spirit and everything that we have learned here today. I pray now, God, that not only are we hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Help us, oh God, to have a fear of you, a reverence of you. And help us, oh Lord, to understand that our circumcision is not of men, but is unto you. And I thank you, Lord God, for helping us to be who we are and where we are even right now. Now, God, I pray for greater elevation, greater revelation, and help us, Lord, to step and continue to walk into the light and not resist it. And I thank you, Lord, for each and every man and woman that is here. And I speak blessings upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm excited.